Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They had the plums in a wheelbarrow. Dan Campbell, 5 fourth down decisions converted. 4 of them. Lions win. They had a dilapidated defense, and he called the game accordingly. We'll talk about Dan Campbell's gambles and what he said to the team afterwards, that they're destined for this. Are you feeling that way? As it does not matter who gets injured. It does not matter how good the opponent is. It doesn't matter what mistakes they make in game. Jared Goff had a very bad interception yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't come up at all today. They overcome all of this. It does feel like they are destined to win the Super Bowl.
Well, one of the things that we know about Jared Goff is it takes a lot to rattle him and to keep him rattled. He has, for 3 years now, whenever there's been moments, and no quarterback is going to be perfect, even though we've seen him have some perfect rating days. You throw an interception. What does he do? He did the same thing against Green Bay on the road last year. You throw an interception, and then the next drive, you take him down and score. Like, this is, I don't know how many times we could say it, and to the value of Jared Goff and the experience that he has. And I'll even talk about it on the fourth down at the very end of the game. He gets stepped on. He does everything. He knows how important that handoff is. He stretches as far as he possibly can. His focus was simply on getting the ball to David Montgomery. He did. They converted, even though he was stepped on by Graham, going down, knees on the ground, hands the ball off, and it's just, hey, we'll run out the clock.
Yeah, we focus on the late moments because they matter a lot. That conversion sealed the game. Zeke Turner, who? Big stop in the red zone the previous possession. But John, you're right. It's the drive after the interception from Jared Goff. I also think it's the drive after the Packers' first touchdown. So remember, Green Bay goes on a 12-play drive. 10 of them are runs. It's 7 minutes. Yeah. It's physical. We go, oh no, this was our nightmare. Now it's 10-7. Detroit has one possession before the half. They use all the clock. They go down the field. 4th and 3. Touchdown. Like, that was a hell of an answer to stay up double digits at home, and they were able to use their offense to win the game.
Yeah, and I told myself not to do it, and I just did it in regards to glossing over. Yeah, the big play was the fourth down conversion, and it was Jared Goff getting stepped on, being able to hand the ball off. It was Laporta coming across the formation and knowing that he's got to have, you know, good leverage on his block. I thought that was the key block. You know what you're going to get from Penei Sewell, and to get a double team from Sewell and Zeitler, like, that was money in the bank. But when you think about, okay, instead of just saying you run out the clock at that point, no, you still have to have a game-winning field goal kicked. And Jake Bates, I was very reserved. What did I say, you know, at the time? Is, do you have confidence in him? I said, well, you know, for now. For now. And I kept saying, for now. And then you see him go out there against Minnesota on the road, first game-winning field goal. Got to have it to win the game, and he goes out there and nails it. And then you see him against Houston, Got to have it to win the game. And he goes out there and he nails it. Even every game, there's going to be more and more pressure that builds on moments like that. And yeah, some of it was taken off because Dan Campbell put it on his shoulders by going for it on fourth down. But now you got to send your kicker out there and you've got to have it. It was tied, so it wasn't, you weren't going to lose it on that one, but you were going to be, you're going to be very vulnerable if you don't. Jake Bates goes out there and absolutely nails it.
Look, I love what I saw from him in the preseason. I'm not going to take a victory lap because this is even better than I anticipated. Yeah. John, I knew he could give them the leg from 50 plus. It was a complete unknown how he would be consistently with pressure in the NFL. Guy's got three game winning kicks and we're not done yet.
And in his first year as a full-time kicker.
Yeah, and again, against playoff teams in big spots. Let's get to the phones. 248-539-9797. Bob, you're in Troy and you're on 97.1. Sorry, Greg, actually it's you. Hit the wrong button. Greg, what's up?
Oh, man, talking about victory party. Man, goodness sake, this is incredible. My thing is, I'm sick and tired of hearing the phrase Dan Campbell. We have to look at all the dynamics that play into this. Dan Campbell was a great football player, great leader, came up through the ranks as coaching, sat under some great coaching minds, got under a good owner, Sheila Ford, you know, with a great GM. So with all that, what I'm saying is he sees things from a player's perspective, from an assistant coaching perspective, and now ultimately from a coaching perspective. He sees that he has all these Mustangs in his garage. Why? It would be a great disservice not to utilize what you have, and that's all he does is utilizing what he has, and what he has done is breaking a mindset that, like you mentioned earlier, you know, about the previous coaches for the Lions, a mindset. But the mindset is broken with the talent that you have. And the talent that we have is nothing like the NFL has ever seen. There's so much talent. It would be a great disservice not to go for fourth down. Remember, guys, Quasar's kept, we should be defending Super Bowl champions, if you leave it up to me. If you leave it up to me, we should be defending Super Bowl champions.
Well, I think a lot of Lions fans would probably like to make that claim, but we're not. And let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because we've seen, and I know there are some people that do not like the term Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
But when you're one of one, is he one of one?
Yeah. And I don't think it's a bad.
No, I'm not saying that, but he is.
Like Dan Campbell's not a dirty phrase. It's not a bad thing.
But you gotta take chances. I don't think it gives him enough credit for the decisions that he's making and why he's making them.
So, okay.
And he's never going to sit there and pat himself on the back and say, well, you know, these are all of the things that I was thinking about.
Do you think it implies that he's just like a degenerate? Like it's more calculated than people give him credit for?
I think it is much more calculated than people give it credit for. But I you know, he's not going to care. I certainly don't care. But, you know, we've seen coaches take chances before, but not to the length that Dan Campbell has. And I do think that he's one of one.
Bob and Troy, let's try this time. You're on 97.1.
Yeah. When Goff was turning to the sideline at the end of the game, putting his hand out up and down, telling the coaching staff, I got this. And then he turns around to his players and they were all circling because the Zebras were doing something stupid again. And he's like, come on guys, let's get together. And he does it. That's cool about that. But with the fourth and inches, I was only one tiny question about it. I thought Montgomery would be in there because he carries the pile. When Gibbs is in there, he inflicts pain usually to the outside. I was just a little disappointed that we didn't see, what is it, Sonic and Muscles in there.
Knuckles.
I thought Knuckles. I don't even know the nickname. I don't even know. But
you're trying, yeah, Bob. Knuckles. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I never seen whatever it was. But I really thought Montgomery could have just, because he gets hit with four guys and he carries them 6 yards. We only needed an inch.
You're talking about from their own 31, because they used him at the very end, but you're saying the one before that, if they had gone. Montgomery.
But I was screaming. I go, go for it, Dan. You got it. The defense is real a little bit. Back-to-back touchdown. If they didn't get back-to-back touchdowns, I highly doubt, like Tom said, that he would have done it.
Yeah, and in fact, it was three touchdowns on the four previous possessions. They had one before the half, two coming out of the half, and then a three and out. But it was clear the defense was going to be given ground, and Dan didn't want to concede an inch or a yard, and they went for it. Now, John, he says Montgomery go up the gut. Again, I think people need to go back and watch how Green Bay's front lined up for that fourth and inches. Yeah. Running up the gut. I'm not telling you they couldn't get it, but you would have been running into the strength of that defense.
I think some people are looking at that going, whether it was Dan's call on the play to run or it was Ben Johnson, you don't always have to be the smartest man in the room, which is why I love what they did to seal the game at the end on fourth down to set up the field goal to win it and salt away the rest of the clock. I think everybody in the world thinks going behind Penei Sewell. But you can't simply do that every single time until you prove that you can. And they've proven running behind Penei Sewell and Sam LaPorta. And I think I've talked about it a little bit this morning. We think of Sam LaPorta as a pass catcher. That block was the game-winning block. He was unbelievably important on that play. And you got what you expected from Penei Sewell. And I got what I expected from Sam LaPorta, but I think most people don't give him enough credit for what he does in the run game. The timing it took, some of that's on Goff. Some of it is on him to slow down at the right time to make sure that he gave himself the right angle to get on the inside and allow Montgomery to cut up in there.
The last time they went for it, and people are the people that are against it are the people who say the Green Bay can't score with 30 seconds and no timeouts. They had two 19-17 losses in Dan Campbell's first year. I saw firsthand in person Lamar Jackson get a pass interference call that set up the 66-yarder. They also had a loss in Minnesota that year where they left the Vikings with time and they went down and kicked the field goal. The modern NFL, it's more likely with 30 seconds left and no timeouts that the team will move the ball some. And especially when Christian Watson was kind of eating them up on those intermediate to deep routes, something about him. He plays very well at Ford Field for some reason.
It does seem to. Let's get to Karen in Canton. Karen, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Holy cow. I can't believe it. I was at that game last night, and my sweet husband had bought the tickets for my birthday, so we were right on the 50-yard line, like 20 rows behind the Lions bench.
Damn.
I think that Dan Campbell is the best. And you know what? All these people, these naysayers that, he shouldn't have gone for it, look where we're at now because he always goes for it. He knows. So I think what he did was stupendous. And I look forward to watching the game 10 more days.
I agree. I can't wait for this matchup against Buffalo, Karen. Where were you sitting? Where
your 50
seats?
Yards, 20.
Oh, 50
yards,
okay.
Yeah, then 20 rows up.
Yeah, we were in section 106, and it was so amazing. I couldn't believe, I'm still hoarse from screaming. It was a great game. We sat around really nice people. I know I was listening to your coworker say that that one guy was over the top, but we didn't have anybody like that. And we had a cheesehead sitting two rows down. It was obviously a house divided because the guy she was with had the Lions jersey. She had the Love jersey on, and everybody was kind of teasing her, but she took it in stride. It was all good.
Yeah.
Well, good. Yeah, I love this rivalry that the Lions have going with the Packers right now. It's fun to win. They've won 6 of the last 7 against Green Bay. And I love the guys who have the cheese grater heads. And I love the Lions fan who brought an actual cheese grater and a block of cheddar. And he's just going to town. That's the game summary. For anybody who missed it, it's a cheese grater and a block of cheddar cheese. That was the game. I love it. The Lions find a way, get it done yet again. 248-539-9797. Celebrating on a victory Friday. It's 97.1.
It's the wintry driving season again, and there will be reckless drivers everywhere, and they just can't seem to keep their own cars under control. So if you get injured in an auto accident during this or any other time of the year, you need an injury attorney that's going to be responsive to your needs and aggressive with the insurance companies. Injury attorney that you need to hire is David Femininio. You can speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dan Campbell said after the game, they are destined for this. 11 straight wins. Sure feels like it. Beat up and battered on defense. Still found a way. Lions get it done. 12-1, clinch a playoff spot. It's a victory Friday here. John, we've been talking about Dan Gamble and the decisions, and you mentioned Dan Gamble. You don't necessarily love the connotation there because it just implies like he's just flippantly making these choices. Texter says, Dan Gamble sounds good. Really, it's more like Dan calculated risk, but that doesn't flow off the tongue quite as well. And then someone says, what about Danalytics? It's analytics, but done Dan's way.
Sure.
I mean, you don't care.
People can call it. Yeah, no, I don't. They're all fun, and they're all much more creative than I could ever be. But I just, the calculated, the ability to know his team best. I don't know that there's another coach that knows his team as well as Dan Campbell.
Let's get to Craig in Detroit. Craig, you're on 97.1.
Oh, how you doing, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
John, you just hit on what I was just going to say. We both Wolverines. Go Blue. I want to make a point when everybody's talking about he's going for it on fourth down. He has his team believing in every decision he makes. He has his locker room in his pocket. I mean, when you got a team and guys that say, hey, our coach believes in us. We want to go for it on fourth down. He believes in us. When you got your team like that, the Super Bowl is foreseeable. I can see it. I had to call my brother and tell him, man, this guy got his team. He got his team. They're going there and play for him on a broke leg or broke arm. They'd be like, I want to get in for you, coach. When you got your players feeling that way about you, all the decisions we saying about him going for it, that doesn't mean a thing when you got your team and your locker room the way he has it. And I haven't seen that in football in a while.
The buy-in is special. Yeah, Craig, it is. I mean, he's tapped into something. Want to talk to Brian Baldinger?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's do it. Part of our Fridays, we talk football, Brian Baldinger, and you just got a little sample from Lions fans there. Everybody's in a great mood. What did you take out
morning,
of that
Baldy.
Game?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, I mean, look, I broke the 4th-and-1 play down with 43 seconds to go. It was perfectly executed. Goff almost didn't get the ball to Montgomery there. He tripped over the left guard Glasgow's foot, but they still got it done. You can debate those things all you want. I mean, they missed one at their own 30-yard line. In the third quarter, it allowed the Packers to go get the lead. So there's always the gamble there, but you got to make those decisions when you're the head coach. We saw a backfire in the championship game a year ago. But last night, they finished the game off in a way that they wanted to finish with the ball, and they got a chance to do that.
Were you surprised at all at any of the decisions that Dan Campbell make? Right or wrong, whether you or I or agree with them, are you now – at this point of watching the resume that Dan Campbell has put out there, what he's called, does it ever surprise you when he goes for it on fourth down?
No, he doesn't, John. I mean, like I said, you know, at the end of the third quarter there, I mean, it's 4th-and-1 at the 30-yard line. You're up 3. You got control of the game. Like, do you want to risk giving the Packers that kind of field position? That backfired, but to answer your question, I'm not surprised whenever he goes for it at this point. They were 4 for 5 last night on fourth down conversions, and probably the last one most important. So I'm not surprised, and I don't think it's going to change.
Any surprise in the game plan by Green Bay? It seemed like it took them a little while to get to the run, and I know they got Jordan Love, and I know they got a good wide receiving group, but with as banged up as the front was, especially when Aleem McNeil went down, I thought we would see more than 99 yards rushing by Green Bay.
Me too. I mean, they ran for 140 back in week 9, and it was, I thought they would do a whole lot more of that. But honestly, John, they didn't have a great deal of success on first down when you looked at it early in the game. So I think that played part of it. But we all know that Josh Jacobs, like the great runners in this league, they just get better as the game goes on. So I thought they could have pounded it a lot more than they did early on and really tried to build up, just steam, just pounding it. And I thought I thought that would have been a big chunk of the game plan to start.
Talking to Brian Baldinger, Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. The Lions defense, clearly shorthanded. What did you make of their effort?
It was unbelievable. I mean, I don't know when they signed Quan Alexander. You know better than me, John. But, I mean, Quan Alexander's out there starting. You look at all the different guys that played up front, whether it was O'Connor or Williams. I mean, I thought it was a fantastic effort all the way around. Now, they gave up, 31 points still, and so you go, okay, was it great? But they made the stops when they needed to make the stops with guys that weren't on that roster very long ago. So it's a credit to get those guys, whether it's Adams or O'Connor, the linebacker out there. I'm trying to think of his name.
Turner.
Those guys, they came and they played well as a group. And so it was good to see, I think, Carlton Davis back in the lineup. He's been out for a while. And so I think that helps, a great deal because he's a good player. But, I guess the big concern defensively is just the number of penalties, especially coming from Arnold this year. I don't know in a big spot. I mean, I love the talent. I think we all do. But, there's a lot of penalties committed by Arnold this season, and that'd be a concern just going forward in a big spot right now.
When you look at this team and how they position themselves at 12-1, obviously that game pretty much sealed the fate of the Green Bay Packers. Like they're not going to have a chance to win a division. Now it's Minnesota, but more importantly, it's the Eagles for that one spot. How big of an advantage do the Lions have now, knowing that their toughest game coming up, other than the Minnesota game at the end of the year, is at home against Buffalo in 10 days?
Yeah, I mean, it's a playoff game, John. It's probably going to determine a lot of seeding when you get to the postseason for Buffalo and for Detroit. And so there's an awful lot on the line here getting ready for this game. And so it's going to determine. I mean, Philadelphia, I'm sure, with Carolina, at home this week, and, they go to Washington. I mean, they've got some games where, they should continue to roll here. But regardless, this is for probably the number one seed, in the NFC right now between Detroit and Philadelphia.
He's Brian Baldinger.
I don't want to leave Minnesota out.
No, that's okay. We'll leave them. We can leave them out.
Leave them out. It's
Detroit Radio. Yeah.
Dispatch them in week 18 if necessary.
Yeah.
Baldy, good stuff. We love checking in. Obviously, next Friday we'll be breaking down that Bills game.
Love to. Thanks, guys.
248-539-9797. Lions fans, all show long, we've got those open lines. We want to hear from you, your takeaways from this football game. And if he waits, I think we have the Brad Holmes sound alike ready to weigh in as well. It's all coming up. It's 97.1.
You guys, the awards just keep rolling in for Dr. Berkowitz at Michigan Hair Restoration. He just won the Macomb Daily's Reader Choice Award for the 2024's Best of the Best Plastic Surgeon. So congrats to him. And you guys, it's pretty incredible that Dr. B is right here in Metro Detroit, making it easy to restore your hair by the very best. If you've been thinking about going to see him, go do it now. He's going to have you looking younger and feeling more confident with a thicker head of hair. And I'm telling you, the sooner you go to see him, the more options you're going to have. Dr. B has the most advanced medical therapies and natural pathways to stop your hair loss and improve thickness. And these therapies just keep getting better and better results for his patients. With treatment plans that fit almost every budget, Dr. B will create a custom plan that's specifically for you. And he guarantees all of his treatments. So call today, mention 97.1, and you'll receive a complimentary natural hair remedy treatment at your consultation. That's $1,000 value. For more information and to schedule your consult, go to MichiganHairRestoration.com.
a fourth down touchdown, one of two.
Yeah. And when you have speed like he has, when you hear Dan Miller say that was a sick route, it was every bit of that. It's unbelievable.
Well, because he's so elusive in the open field, right? It's one of those angle Texas routes, right? You go one way and then you break hard towards the middle, and he hard sells for a linebacker to stay with him.
Oh, yeah. He sells it so much that the linebacker turns his shoulders, and then obviously, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs knows where he's going next. He sticks his foot in the ground and then changes directions and accelerates yet again to be all alone in the end zone. It looks so easy. It's not, but he makes it look easy.
They've made this look so easy. It's not supposed to be like this. When you lose all these guys, eventually you're supposed to get got, but this team keeps finding ways to win, and they pick themselves up. The defense has led. The offense has had to step up, and I thought yesterday the offense did step up. They had the ball for 36 minutes. They finished in the red zone. They converted on key fourth downs in the red zone. Got to have it spots, and they win the game.
I can't wait, and we're gonna have to wait 10 days. I can't wait to see, one, who's back for Buffalo.
Yeah.
Because it changes a lot of things. But I want to see the game plans on both sides of the ball, offense, defense, special teams. Hey, that's something that's going to be unique in and of itself. But I want to see Aaron Glenn and how he constructs a game plan to slow down Josh Allen. And I'm more intrigued to see what Ben Johnson, Dan Campbell, this offensive staff is going to put together for this offense. It has been so much fun to watch from an X's and O's standpoint. And I could break down that fourth down play from now until, you know, until Christmas. And there's just so many things that you pick up on, but it was the perfect formation, the perfect motion, but more importantly, it was the execution that was so beautiful.
Ticket Texter says, lifelong Lions fan here. Just watch Dan Campbell's locker room post-game talk. Chills. Say what you want. He says, teary eyes to such a damaged team. They pulled out another key division win. Coach of the year. Proud of these guys. But Dan Campbell calling out Skipper was hilarious. Now, John, this video dropped.
I haven't heard it. I've seen it, and I've kind of been read the text they put along with it, but I haven't been able to hear it because obviously we've been on air.
They didn't release it until we were on the air. We're going to play it in its entirety after we take a couple phone calls because people have been waiting, and I teased that we had the Brad Holmes sound alike.
Oh, yeah.
Corin in Columbus, you're on 97.1.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, how are things down in Columbus?
Listen, it's great for me. I love these new Ohio State fans are miserable. I love it, man. But no, I know we're talking about Dan Campbell in the offense, but I really, really want to talk about how great the defense was for us. I know you look at the points and you're wondering, you know, how you give up 31 points, but to 3 of 7 in the first half and 7 points, it was incredible with guys that are getting in on, you know, Saturday and Sunday and just instilling the offense. And to go back to that, the fourth down that we didn't get on their own 30. The two things that's clear that they installed was their first two possessions on defense, what they wanted to do, because it was their most exotic kind of looks and stunts to get the ball back to offense to get the lead, mm-hmm. and red zone defense. That's where we've been great. I think when you have new guys coming in, you're more open for explosives. So Dan Campbell is more apt to give them a 12th defender, which is the back end of the end zone. Because you're not going to get beat deep, which is that's their strength with Christian Watson, and really just shrink that field and really try to give us our best shot. And you got to remember, that wasn't a PI on Terrion Arnold. I mean, he's not facing him, but he's not impeding him from catching the ball other than just having his hand up. That should have been a red zone interception for us. So, you know, they get the ball back at the one, they get 6 tries to get into the end zone, and then they finally get in. But I just think what Aaron Glenn has done with these guys is insane. And I think to have them, I mean, it's almost like you can just see that we're never going to get out of our scheme because of what we're trying to do. We're going to give you the best defensive package that we have in the first and second quarter. We did it against mm-hmm. Chicago. I think Caleb was 2 for 6 for 40 yards or something like that. And we did it again yesterday with Jordan Love, who's playing outstanding football. But then you see in the second half is when they've been able to kind of get it going because we're firing everything on defense in the first half, get up 2 scores, and then let the offense take over. So just a great job by the team there.
Yeah. the defense is being graded on a curve here because of all the injuries. But you're right. Their start, even if they were healthy, that was a hell of a performance, especially when you're banged up. John, did you? He made the comment about Terry and Arnold.
It was pass interference.
It was pass interference. Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah, one of the most obvious calls is pass interference.
Receiver can't catch the ball because he's
impeding him.
Yeah, yeah.
Draped all over him. Yeah. I mean, it's just, with experience, he will, you know, hopefully be able to be in position, but then turn his whole body around. And that, yeah, it could have been an interception. Should have been an interception. Yep. He was in position, but I think there was just a brief moment of panic, and he impeded the receiver.
Let's get to Matt in the car. Matt, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, three things. First, the Packers, I'm glad they lost. And LaFleur acting like a big sissy because fans were hype about their team. Like, if you can't handle it, then maybe your team should be better. Second, the Lions are going to the Super Bowl. My job is sending me to New Orleans for the next 6 months, so I'll be there for the Super Bowl, and I might buy me a ticket if I can find one cheap enough.
Well, good luck with that. I'm not sure what cheap will mean. I mean, if you're looking for anything under, what, $7,500, that might be cheap.
The cheapest one I found from looking yesterday was like $4,200, and I'm going to make some serious coin in New Orleans, so I could pay for it.
There you go.
There you go. Hey, if you got it, lastly, let it roll.
And then lastly, your U of M, I was a Buckeye fan, but I am giving up my team, and I am switching because I'm sick of it. The last 4 years have given me high blood pressure. So it's not an upgrade, but I'm going to root for Michigan State.
We got to for what? For what? For, you said for man. Michigan State?
I can't root for U of M, right? That's the enemy. And I respect you, Jansen. I love you, man. I love listening to you guys every morning. This is my daily listening on my way to work and back and forth. So
you're allowed to make one bad choice in life, but now two of them?
Yeah, well, at least I ain't rooting for Ohio no more. I'm going to root for Ohio to lose.
Hey, safe travels down to New Orleans. Chance to go to the Super Bowl. It would be amazing.
Me too. Oh, one last thing. The only other game I see Lions losing 15-2 would possibly be the Bills. Now, they could prepare and win, but I hope they don't lose. But that's the only team that I see giving the Lions another loss. Other than that, 15-2 for the season.
Yeah, could be a Super Bowl preview. And if they lose that one, they still have the tiebreaker. If Philly doesn't lose at all, they still have the tiebreaker against Philly for the number one seed.
We don't have the time to properly break down what he just said, switching from an Ohio State fan. And I thought he was going to make the unthinkable switch to being a Wolverine fan, which, like, how are you an Ohio State fan to begin with if you could ever do that?
You heard me. I was about ready to celebrate. And then in the middle of my celebration, he said Michigan State. What? What?
Also, not exactly a hot commodity to be hopping aboard right now.
No.
5-7, there's not really a lot of buzz going on. Anyway, Lions are the story of the day. 248-539-9797. Dan Campbell, full locker room address to the team. Have you ever heard him that fired up? That felt like even on another level for him.
He had another one it was the week, not last week, but the week before where he was really fired up.
Yeah.
Like, he might have gone Ric Flair mode last night in real life. Seriously.
But it was, I mean,
I'm ready to go, John. I know you are.
Oh, yeah. That, I mean, when you listen to that and you pair that with what you saw in the game, what we knew going in, and he referenced it. I don't care who it is. You're here for a reason. You're football players. We expect you to go out there and play, and they did, and they came through. And it wasn't always perfect. It wasn't exactly the way it was supposed to be done, but it's exactly what they needed to win the game.
We live in pressure. We don't have to talk resilience. We live it. Like, he's foaming at the mouth in that locker room speech. Like, yeah. And Hugh can tell. He feels it.
He doesn't have to say that they're a tough team like some coaches.
And listen, he put it all out there. I mean, he put the plums in the wheelbarrow. Like, he was, we're going to go for it. We're going to live and die. Some of these decisions you guys might not like on the outside. It's who we are. We're going to live and die with this football team. We're going to live and die with this. Yes, Stoney. What? Phone calls, ticket text. You want to talk gambles? You want to talk outcomes? It's 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years with a focus on using the highest quality ingredients. You can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. And it's all-day IPA. Here's what you get. It's a refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking and high quality. All-day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. Speaking of great times, we got plenty of them going on right now with our football team. All-day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game days, whether you're at home, in the stadium, or at your tailgate. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
That he is. Lions win. Just keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
Playing to win, too. Dan Gamble. What do you think? 248-539-9797. I know some of you are going, oh, he's playing with fire. What's he doing? It's his own 31. What's he doing? Just kick the field goal. It's inside the last minute. Some of you thought he was playing with fire and may feel like he was lucky he wasn't burned. I don't think he was reckless yesterday. You guys know, I'll tell you if I think it was reckless. This wasn't 4th and 7 for the game against the Cowboys. These were short yardage. These were inches. These are a yard, right? These are goal-to-go situations early in the game. And you have to understand that it's not one size fits all. He doesn't have a defense. They got practice squad guys who've been here for days, not weeks, not months, days. Who's Zeke Turner? Who are these guys? And he's coaching the personnel he's got. He's got to play to his strength. He wants to win time of possession. He wants to play keep away. Green Bay scored points on 5 of their last 6 drives of the game. The shootout was on. You got to decide, are you playing to win? You want to kick a field goal like LaFleur at the end of the game? You're going to go for it. You're lean with your offense. John, I don't think it was reckless. I think it was necessary. I'll double down. I think it was necessary for him to go for it on those 4th downs.
It was, because you look at all of the key deciding factors. And okay, so you're even on turnovers. And then it's the time of possession, 36 minutes to 24 minutes. It's first downs, 27 for the Lions, 17 for Green Bay. Total plays. You talk about opportunity, creating opportunity for yourself and limiting it for the Packers. 76 offensive plays run by Detroit. 76 versus 45 for the Pack.
That's the game.
That's
it's tug of war. You got to play keep away.
And we knew that going into this, you could wear away. You could wear down at the end of the game, especially when, and I don't know what your reaction was. I know what mine was. I just can't believe it. Aleem McNeil is walking off the field with the trainers. I'm like,
again,
what is going on?
Well, like, anytime
who
anybody
has cursed the defense, yet it's not a curse. It's not. They find a way to overcome every single obstacle all season long.
We said this yesterday. I'm not saying this to pat us on the back. A lot of you were with us. A good team gets buried by these injuries. The Lions aren't a good team. They're a great team. They're a special team. Like, there's no other way to describe what we're watching. John, other teams are losing with this level of injury, right? With this level of when your depth is challenged to this degree, good teams eventually trip up. The Lions, nothing trips this team up. Like, Jared Goff throws a pick, a bad pick. No one's talking about it today. A bad pick. They respond the very next drive and score a touchdown. The best drive the Packers had all day was the first half to me. It was a 12-play drive, yep. 10 runs, 7 minutes, man ball, trying to play Lions football at Ford Field and take it to Detroit. And that was a you're-on-your-heels moment. It's 10-7. They just scored a touchdown. What did Detroit do? Marched all the way down the field, scored a touchdown, almost as time expired responded at the end of the first half. Yep. Like, John, they responded every single time again, and not at their best, not at their healthiest, but they responded again.
And when you thought that, okay, Green Bay figured it out, right? They 10 out of 12 plays, they marched down and they score, but we didn't see that again.
So they didn't run on Detroit, I mean, 99 yards for the day?
Right, and I thought Baldy brought up a good point of the ability to be good on first down. That is so important when, especially when the strength of your defense is the secondary, it's the healthiest part of your defense.
Yeah.
at some point with Jordan Love, you know that they feel confident in throwing the ball, Christian Watkins, all that stuff. Like, you know that they feel comfortable throwing the ball. So if you're good on first down, now you remove some of that tendency to run on second and medium. And it's second long, Green Bay's propensity to run or throw the football,
yep.
It comes out.
It plays
you push
into
them into a position to do what they want to do, but it plays into what you are defensively.
That's game planning. That's coaching. That's the things we've highlighted, right? That's bringing back your OC and your DC and having a head coach that's as good as anybody in football at getting his guys up for big games. And this was a big game. Like, that's the other thing. This was a massive game.
Oh, yeah.
For the one seed, tiebreakers, all of it, division, all of it.
I think Greg brought up a good point yesterday when we were talking about, you know, hey, Philly just won't lose. Minnesota just won't lose. And now they're looking at it as Detroit's banged up. They've got 13 guys on defense that are not playing, either on IR or inactive because they're not playing. And they're from their perspective, what do we have to do? Detroit just won't lose.
I know. Isn't it beautiful?
Oh, yeah.
Victory Friday sounds pretty good. 248-539-9797. Ticket Texter says, I just want to give a shout out to John Jansen. He looked and sounded great when they showed him on the intro to the broadcast.
I missed it.
You didn't see it?
No, my wife did. She texted me because I was at Ruby's basketball game.
That's right.
And yeah. I hadn't yet. I mean, the game hadn't started, so I hadn't turned it on yet. I was kind of hoping to see it, but
yeah, thank you. The crew out here the other day. Uh-huh. And yeah, they got your mug up on
hopefully
the screen.
I'll be able to see it on replay somewhere.
248-539-9797. We'll get phone calls in the mix. Eric in Farmington Hills. Eric, good morning.
How you doing, guys?
Good. Good.
All right, so you know, talking about Dan Campbell, I was at the game last night, and we have season tickets. And any chance I got to talk to my buddies who were worried we were going to lose it, I just said, "Man, be Dan. How do you think Dan Campbell thinks we're going to lose this game? You know, when we were down, I'm like that. Like that doesn't ever cross his mind. And if you just go into all these games with his mentality, you know, that's just how I think about it." You know, he's the man. And I didn't lose faith. I was looking forward to seeing, you know, a bunch of names on jerseys on our defense come out and show, and they did.
And I think he has, obviously, he's all concerned about getting the guys in the locker room, like you mentioned, to have his mentality. They're 100% bought in. It's culture. And now the fans are, you got to buy in. We talked about it the last couple of days. Do you expect them to win or do you hope they win? I think now going into every game, not that they're always going to win, but you should expect them to win.
You absolutely should. To his laser focus, Campbell's. He said at the podium, he hadn't even realized they clinched the playoffs. He said he would have addressed that with the team, but it didn't even enter into his...
Wasn't on his stat sheet.
No.
We know he needs a stat sheet after the game, which I not a shot. I 100% agree.
By the way, how great is... Hey, Skipper, keep throwing up or whatever you're doing over there.
Yeah. Some guys just have that reaction. We used to have a guy that before the games, if he threw up before the game, you know, you'd hear the dry heaves and all of a sudden you'd hear the splatter. You're like, okay, we're ready. Like, and when he didn't, you're like, ooh, I'm not sure we're ready for this game.
Was that like nervousness?
Yeah, Eric Wilson from the area. Local guy.
Oh, okay.
Love him. Yeah.
248-539-9797. Garrett on a cell. Garrett, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, great job yesterday, guys. So going into the week, the main topic was injuries, specifically on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think an argument can be made that having Decker out played more of an impact. I mean, we rushed for roughly about a yard and a half less that yesterday's game than we have all season during any game. And then also, I wanted you guys feedback on, like, if you guys have any context. Like, what was going on with LaFleur and that fan? That was odd. FTP, go live.
Yeah, so Garrett, I mean, I, before DJ Reader went down, I was all over. I think Taylor Decker is the biggest injury. And then it's just a matter of attrition defensively, and then Aleem McNeil goes down. I think there is a lot to be said for you. I think against Buffalo, you really need Taylor Decker back. And in regards to the fan, I mean, there's somebody that was supposed to be holding the flag before while the anthem was going on. He did the throat slash and was, you know, spewing some things at the Packers sideline, specifically at Matt LaFleur, and you know Matt LaFleur took exception to it, which at that point I don't have a problem with his reaction.
Yeah, we like the fans who are unruly and create a hostile environment, but like there is a line.
Yeah.
If the situation was reversed and Dan Campbell was saying that to a fan, I mean, a visiting or a home fan, we would eat it up. We'd love it.
Yeah. I mean, I do love the chippiness of this rivalry. I like that St. Sure. Brown doesn't like these guys. I like that they jaw back with us a little bit. Mac and Cheese over there, Kraft, trying to get his comments in. I like how it's become this big rivalry. And I also love that the Lions have won 6 of the last 7, so FTP. Yeah. Like, I mean, that is the beauty of it. Bring your cheese graters out. And there was that fan who had a block of cheddar cheese that he had smuggled into the Ford Field with an actual cheese grater. And he's sitting there just going to town, kind of like the Lions were. All right, beautiful. We got what?
Beautiful.
It was beautiful. 248-539-9797. We got phone calls to get to. We will continue to talk about Dan Campbell's gambles and the fact that this football team just doesn't know how to lose. It's 97.1.